read together from God's Word, John 14, page 955 in the Red New King James Versions, 955, John 14, verses 1 through 4. I would like to start reading at John 13, verse 31, just after the Last Supper. He's about to go to the cross, and already then Jesus announces to his disciples that after the cross, he's going to rise and go back to heaven. And that's very upsetting to the disciples that Jesus is going to go away. John 13, 31. I just invite you to read along with me silently, and then we'll read 14 verses 1 through 4 together. John 13, verse 31. So when he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake." Jesus answered him, "Will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times." Let's read together. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." God bless this word to us today and in the days to come. Brothers and sisters in Jesus, have you ever invested a whole lot of your life into something? A marriage, a child, a business, a stock, an education, and then lost it all? Wouldn't that be extremely troubling and painful? Well, that's what it was like for the disciples to hear from Jesus that he was going away from them, back to heaven. They were very upset. They had left everything. Imagine that. Had left everything to follow Jesus. They had put everything on the line for him. They invested their whole life, and now it seemed like they were going to lose everything they invested. You can imagine them thinking, "We sacrificed everything to be with you, to be your disciples, and now you're leaving us behind?" Well, in this passage, Jesus explains why they should not despair or be upset, but trust in the work of God and also of Jesus. Jesus was going home to God. He was going to his home in heaven with God, not just for himself, but also for all his disciples. And he comforts his disciples with this teaching: "I am going to heaven in order to take all of you there. Trust me. Investing in me guarantees a glorious future." When Jesus went away to heaven, he went to his Father's house. That's the first thing that we're taught here. He went to his Father's house. Jesus began in John 14 with these tremendous words, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus is putting himself on an equal footing with the Heavenly Father. As you believe in God, believe in me too. I'm going away. Where I'm going, you cannot follow now, he said in 13 verse 36. But you need to trust in me as you trust in him. Trust what the Father and I are doing. And I'm going away, the Father's taking me up. But trust what we're doing, the Father and I. We're working for your salvation. God and I are not leaving you stranded. God and I are achieving for you the goal of your salvation, heaven. That's why he said, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Then he said in verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. Many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. So he's saying, I'm going away. I'm not staying here. And where am I going when I go away? I'm going to my Father's house. That's where I'm going. I'm going to my Father's house. Other Bible verses speak of Jesus going to heaven at other places. But here Jesus speaks of heaven as a house with many mansions or rooms. It is my Father's house. And that's another way of describing heaven. It's the Father's house. That's where God dwells in absolute glory. Later Jesus would say in John 17 verse 5, says to the Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. So, he's going to the Father's presence. That's the same as going to my Father's house. My Father's house is where the presence of God is in heaven. Yes, I know God is everywhere and present. He's everywhere present. But he has chosen one place to be the headquarters of his glory, his power and love. And to be the headquarters of his communion and the very center of his covenant dealings. And he calls this place my house. My house. Think of the Garden of Eden. Right? The creation at the time of Adam and Eve, when they were first created, was bigger than the Garden of Eden, but that was the Father's house. And when they sinned, they were sent out of the house. They were sent out of the house. But Eden, paradise, was where the Father lived in the fullness of his glorious presence. Well, God is everywhere present, but his headquarters he calls my house. This is home for God, for Jesus, and for all the saints in the power of the Spirit. Now, different pictures are used in the Bible for this place called my Father's house. Sometimes it's called Mount Zion. Sometimes it's called the heavenly Jerusalem, the holy city. It's called the temple, the heavenly country in Hebrews 11. It's called the paradise or garden of God. But here, heaven, where God dwells, is called a house. It's a real place. It's not just a new state that Jesus entered when after his resurrection he ascended 40 days later. Not just a new state, but he has gone to a real place. I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going to my Father's house. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. What else did he say about his Father's house? It has many mansions. Many mansions. In my Father's house are many mansions. This translation comes from the Old King James Version. In Old English, a mansion did not mean a huge, magnificent palace up on a hilltop. In Old English, mansion just meant a room or an apartment. Or a lodging place. I want to stress that because as a kid growing up, I knew the song, in my Father's house are many mansions. I knew the Old King James translation, in my Father's house are many mansions, and I just imagined these huge palaces, magnificent palaces where I could live happily forever after all by myself with all the luxuries. That was the picture I had, and that's not the right picture. In fact, the New King James has rooms in the margin. My father's house, not in this New King James Bible. In some editions of the New King James, there's a little note, rooms. The NIV uses rooms as well. But that's what the word is. In my father's house are many rooms. And that's what Old English meant as well, many apartments. But unfortunately, we've come to think about heaven in what I would say a more Muslim kind of way. In a materialistic and individualistic way. Physical luxury and easy living. Far better than you'll find in any tour of homes. And each one has his own private palace. Heaven is all about me and my privacy. Isn't that awful? An awful way to think about heaven? Well, that's how many think of it. Nobody there to bother me. I can be all by myself. And just be my own selfish pig forever and ever. That's not the picture at all. It's not what Jesus is teaching. In my Father's house are many apartments or rooms. That doesn't sound very glamorous, does it? Really? Do you want to spend eternity in an apartment? Will that really be glory for me? But this is how Jesus is teaching us to think about heaven in this passage. As the Father's house, which has many rooms in it, many apartments. And the point is not that God's children will spend eternity squished into tiny, uncomfortable apartments. You know how big the Father's house is. It's the whole new creation. That's pretty big. So the apartments there are fairly sizable, I would think. Anyway, the point is not that we're going to be squished into tiny, uncomfortable apartments. But here's the point. We spend eternity in the presence of God the Father. Have a room in His house, in His presence. He has a room for His children in His very own house. He's not going to put you in some middle earth somewhere. He's not going to put you in a lonely place all by yourself in miserable privacy. And His disciples are on their way to the same place Jesus went. All His disciples. All who believe in Jesus. Same place that Jesus went, in the glorious presence of the Father, in His very own house. Imagine that, living in your Father's house. You have direct access to Him. That's the point. Who loves you so much that He sent His Son for you. This is God's covenant coming to absolute fullness and joy, as John later saw in Revelation 21 and 22, God dwelling among His people. God Himself is our new home. There are many rooms in the Father's house. That's another thing Jesus says here. I'm going to my Father's house. There are many rooms in that house. Room enough for all God's children. He is the God who makes room for His children. This is a real place. But it's life in another dimension. So this house with many rooms is going to look far different than and be far better than a house with many rooms that we find here in our brick and mortar existence today. For it is a house where all these things come together. City, temple, garden, bride. Right? It's really hard to picture what this house will look like. All these things are one in the new creation. What that will be and what that will look like is far beyond our puny minds to grasp. That will be glory for me and all who belong to Jesus by faith. And that's home. That's home. Just as Jesus longed to go home again, He created, He taught us to long for home too. Here we are finally home. At home with God together with all the saints. At home. A home we will never have to leave. A home that will be everything we know a home should be. Everything and much, much more than the best of our homes have ever been. Imagine sitting down with your Father in that dining room to eat that food and enjoy that conversation and to know that it will only get more wonderful as time goes on. And the more you see and understand, the deeper the joy, the wonder will become. Now, heaven in that sense is not sort of a plateau that will never ever get better. It will get better every day because we will see more glory every day. Never the shadow of death over that home. Think of, at least most homes, of the squabbling and the tension that can happen between brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, parents and children. Do you ever have tension in your home? Maybe not here, but we do in Strathroy. And all that tension will be gone. It'll be perfect harmony in all relationships in the many homes or the many rooms in the one Father's house. What a picture. Anyway, Jesus ascended to His Father's house. And secondly, for what purpose? To prepare a place for us. I go there to prepare a place for you. Jesus went to the Father's house not to get away from us. Not to get away from us, pesky people that we can be, right? How long, you of little faith, do I have to put up with you, Jesus even said. But He didn't do that to get away from us. That's not why He went to the Father's house. But to advance us and to open heaven's door for us. Hebrews 6 verse 20 says that Jesus entered heaven on our behalf as our forerunner to appear for us in God's presence as a forerunner, one that runs ahead of us to break trail so we can all follow. That's the idea of the forerunner. And that's really the whole point of our salvation. That's the whole point of the covenant God made with Abraham. And the whole reason Jesus came down first from heaven to earth and suffered and died on the cross to bring us back home to His glory, to bring many sons to glory. That's the whole purpose of the enterprise, the project of salvation, to bring us home. We can summarize that whole project. God says to His Son, I want you to go down for my people whom I have chosen to pay for their sin, come under the curse for them, to redeem them and take them home to me, back home to me. You see, sin got us expelled from the house in the first place, from God's house. God shut the door and He put a no entrance sign on it. Remember, a cherubim with flashing, flaming sword back and forth? You can't come back in. No room for sinners. Sinners not welcome. Back in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned and we sinned in them, God's paradise is closed to rebels. Because we didn't want the glory and the joy of the Father's house. We thought more and better was available if we listened to Satan. But in His great love for us, God went to work to take that sign, no entrance sign, off the door to His house, to His paradise. He went to work to open that door up again and take His children back in. He sent Jesus to take on Himself our crimes and punishment that got us shut out. He said to the Son, I'll shut you out to take my people back in. And Jesus readily sacrificed Himself to do this work and accomplish this goal, to raise many sons and take them to glory. It's all about going home, back to the Father's house. And Jesus leads the way by going home before us. And going home for us, to prepare a place for us, to make things ready for our homecoming. What a price God the Father paid and Jesus the Son paid to have us go back home. What a price. So Jesus said, I'm going there to prepare a place for you, John 14. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. That's His whole plan and goal for us. Heaven is what Christianity is all about, writes one author. Without heaven, it's all to no purpose. That's where it all ends up. The covenant, the incarnation, the cross, the resurrection, the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's all about how God brings us to heaven. Heaven stands at the end of it. At the end of it all, as that to which everything points and from which everything gets its meaning. I go to prepare a place for you. Well, wait, didn't Jesus say once that on judgment day he will say, come you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the creation of the world. Didn't he prepare the house before the creation of the world? Well, yes, it was prepared for us in eternity by God's planning it, but now it has to be prepared for us in reality. Okay? The blueprint was established in eternity, but now the place has to be prepared. But what needs to be prepared in heaven for us? Here again, my childish understanding, I go to prepare a place for you, I believe, has been wrong. And I've had to correct that understanding. What does it mean that Jesus went to heaven to prepare a place for me? Is there a problem in the Father's house? Does stuff need to be fixed there? Are there holes in the drywall that have to be taped over, mudded and taped? Right? What's imperfect about heaven that a place has to be prepared? And so we have this picture of Jesus going to heaven to paint the rooms your color and to put your favorite chandelier in place. That's not true at all. I know it's true here on earth that when somebody moves into an apartment, lots of work needs to be done to prepare that place for the next tenants, to fix up what the previous tenants wrecked. The walls have to be painted and holes fixed and improvements made. But God's house is perfect, isn't it? Is Jesus really busy fixing holes and painting walls in our rooms? Of course not. Jesus is busy getting us ready for heaven here on earth. That's why Pentecost happened. That's why He sent His Spirit down to earth to save us and sanctify us and help keep our focus, the focus of our lives fixed on heaven where Jesus is, not on the earth. He's busy getting us ready for heaven, but He's not busy getting heaven ready for us. Not in the commonly understood notions of Jesus being busy, busy, busy getting our rooms ready. No, what Jesus is saying is this, just by my act of going there, I go there to prepare a place. My going there will prepare the place for you. It's helpful to think of our modern practice of making reservations for someone at a hotel. What do? You call the hotel in advance and you make reservations for a room for someone, and that room now is claimed. It's got your name on it. It's yours by right. And when you get there, it's yours. It's prepared. It's ready for you. Well, that's how Jesus, by going to the Father's house, has prepared a place for all His children. When He ascended, He went not just for Himself, but as our high priest, with all the names of all His children written on His breastplate. All those whom He purchased with His precious blood. And at the cost of that blood, He went there and He reserved a room for all His children. You can imagine going there with all our names written upon Him. And He said, my Father, reserve a room for him and her, him and her, and all the names, and they were all reserved. He claimed these rooms as our proper possession through His own blood. He put our names on them. And the Father, who accepted the perfect payment of His Son on the cross, when Jesus ascended, said yes to every reservation. Yes, the price has been paid. The door is open for that person and that person. The price has been paid for them. They have believed or will believe in my Son and be covered by His blood. And that's why Scripture says that by faith in Jesus, we're already now in heaven, seated with Him in glory. Place has been reserved for us. Yes, He must still come back and get us, but our place is ready. It's ours. He's reclaimed the Father's house for us, which we lost by our sin. And He regained that room by His death, resurrection, and ascension. Our name is on it. So there's a place in heaven. An inheritance, a room reserved in heaven for you. So the Apostle Peter says, right in 1 Peter chapter 1, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. No, that's the wrong verse. But there's an inheritance reserved in heaven for you, an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade away, kept, reserved in heaven for you. That's the word that's used, kept or reserved. He has claimed it for us and will come again to take us there. And Jesus says, my goal is to bring you here to be with me in the presence of my Father. A house with many rooms. Well, what's the only way there? Jesus added in verse 4, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. Here also Jesus teaches us the way to get there. Now Thomas needed clarity, but Jesus had already told them the place he's going and the way to get there in verses 1 to 3. But Thomas disagrees with Jesus. No, we don't know the place, and so we can't know the way. Thomas is thinking of the way as the bus you need to take to get to a destination. We know where you're going, but how can we get there? He's thinking of earthly things, not heavenly things. And Jesus answered his confusion with one of the most important statements we must know. John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Basically, he's just repeating verses 1, 2, and 3 with new words in verse 6. Didn't I tell you to believe in me? Didn't I tell you that I'm going to my Father's house? Didn't I tell you I'm coming back to get you? Thomas, I am the way to the Father's house. I am the way to eternal life and communion with Him. I am the bus who gets you there. I am the way. I am the truth. I've come to reveal the true God. And I am the life, the one who brings you back to life with God, which is life indeed. And there's no other bus to take you to eternal life with God. Believing in Jesus guarantees us a place in the Father's house in eternal, joyful communion with Him together with all the saints. Not believing in Jesus guarantees you a place in hell where there's only weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's Jesus' death and resurrection that takes the no entrance sign off. But if you don't trust in Him, the door remains shut. The door to the Father's house remains shut. He's the door. He's the way. No matter what our culture says about there being many ways up to the mountain to God's house, whether you take Buddhism, or if you take Christianity, or Judaism, we can all coexist. No matter what our culture says about there being many ways up to God's house, it's a lie. Only in Jesus has God opened up a door of fellowship with the living God, a door to the Father's house. No other way agrees with God's character and will. No other way will get rid of your sin. Only Christ. No other way to be reconciled to God. No other way to go back home to the God who created us, except for Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But if you believe in Jesus Christ, the one God's love sent to pay for sin and remove God's wrath, then you have found the only way back to God. All your sins are washed away. They can't come back on you and shut the door on you again. Heaven's gates are opened for you and they can't be closed. Your room is reserved because you belong to Him, and the reservation cannot be taken away. Your room is reserved because you belong to Him, the sin bearer, and He has gone there to prepare a place for you. He's interceding for you in heaven. He's protecting you and pulling you through every temptation and affliction now. And when you die, He will take your soul to heaven, and then one day He will come back and take you, your body, and all His chosen ones with Him into the joy and glory of heaven. That is heaven descending upon the earth, the new creation. Are you living by faith in Jesus, the Son of God? Well, in Jesus Christ, your life has finally found its true home. And that changes the way you live every day. That as the focus of your life in this earth is on the Father's house, that will make you a powerful witness in the midst of a world that has made this earth and its fleeting treasures and pleasures its focus, its home. The world says, home is here. We're creating a home here. And the Christian says, home is with God through Jesus. Come with me. Let's pray.